Welcome to the second video in a three-part series on Marian apparitions. In this video, we'll explore some of the most popular approved apparitions, which have enjoyed widespread veneration through liturgical celebration. Starting with Our Lady of Guadalupe. It's the morning of December 19th, 1531. A native Mexican peasant named Juan Diego sees a vision of a young woman on the hill of Tepeyac, now part of present-day Mexico City. The lady spoke to him in his native Nahuatl language and identifies herself as the ever-Virgin Mary, mother of the true living God, and asks that a church be built on the hill in her honor. Juan Diego goes to the archbishop to tell him what happened, but the bishop does not believe him. Later that day, Mary appears to Juan Diego again, and he tells her how he failed in convincing the bishop and how she should really recruit someone of greater status, but she insists that it be him. The next day, December 20th, Juan Diego speaks to the archbishop again, who tells him to go back to the hill of Tepeyac and ask the lady for a miraculous sign to prove her identity. He does so, and Mary says to return the next day, and she will provide a sign. However, the next day, December 21st, Juan Diego's uncle, Juan Bernardino, falls ill, and Juan Diego goes to care for him instead. On December 22nd, Juan Diego goes to fetch a priest to hear his uncle's confession, as his condition turns for the worst. Feeling bad that he had not met with Mary as they had arranged, Juan Diego goes by a different route, avoiding the hill. Nevertheless, Mary appears to him and asks where he's going. Juan Diego explains the situation, to which she gently reproaches him for not trusting in her by saying, "Am I not here, I, who am your mother?" And she assures him that his uncle had recovered. She then instructs him to go to the top of the hill of Tepeyac to gather some flowers. The hill, which was normally barren, especially in the cold of December, now had blossoming roses, which Juan Diego gathers in his tilma, the cloak he was wearing. Mary then rearranges the roses and tells Juan Diego to take them to the bishop. When Juan Diego opens his cloak in the presence of the bishop, the flowers fall to the ground, leaving behind miraculously imprinted on the cloak the image of the Virgin of Guadalupe. The next day, December 23rd, Juan Diego finds his fully recovered uncle, who tells him that Mary also appeared to him and instructed him to tell the bishop of the apparition and miraculous cure. It is in this apparition that she states her title, the Virgin of Guadalupe. The apparition and image are credited with the conversion of millions of indigenous people to the Catholic faith, and today is a symbol of the faith of Mexican people across the world. The image is enshrined in the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the most visited Catholic shrine in the world. The Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe is December 12th, and the Feast of Saint Juan Diego is December 9th. Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal. It's July 19th, 1830. A French nun named Catherine Labre wakes up after hearing the voice of a child saying, "Sister Labre, come to the chapel. The Blessed Virgin awaits you." When she arrives at the chapel, she's surprised to see it brightly lit, as if for Mass. Inside, she sees the Blessed Virgin Mary sitting in a chair. Catherine kneels beside her and rests her hands on her lap as Mary says, "God wishes to charge you with a mission. You will be contradicted, but do not fear. You will have the grace to do what is necessary. Tell your spiritual director all that passes within you. Times are evil in France and in the world." On the evening of November 27th, 1830, Mary returns, displayed inside an oval frame, standing on top of a globe, wearing many rings set with gems that shone rays of light over the globe. Around the frame appear the words, "O Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee." As Catherine continues to watch, the frame rotates to show a circle of 12 stars, a large letter M surmounted by a cross, and a stylized Sacred Heart of Jesus and Immaculate Heart of Mary. Catherine then asks why some of the gems do not shed light, and Mary answers, "Those are the graces for which people forget to ask." Then Mary asks Catherine to take these images to her confessor, telling him that they should be put on medallions, and saying, "All who wear them will receive great graces." Catherine did as she was told, and while at first they did not believe her, a 2-year investigation began where Catherine's daily routines and behaviors were observed and reported to the Archbishop. Seeing that Catherine was a holy nun, they believed her and approved their request. Medallions were produced and distributed, and the devotion of the Medal of Our Lady of Grace quickly spread, soon taking on the moniker the Miraculous Medal because of the countless miracles attributed to it, the greatest of which are the increase of patience, forgiveness, repentance, and faith in Christ. The Feast of Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal is November 27th. The Feast of St. Catherine Labre is November 28th. Our Lady of La Salette. It's September 19th, 1846. Two shepherd children named Maximin Gerard, aged 11, and Melanie Calvat, aged 14, see a beautiful lady sitting down and crying into her hands. She was clothed in a white robe studded with pearls and a gold-colored apron, white shoes and roses about her feet, and high headdress. Around her neck, she wore a crucifix suspended from a small chain. She continued to cry as she spoke to the children, saying that people must respect the Lord's day and not use the Lord's name in vain, and sorrowfully warned of a punishment that would come. That winter after the apparition, Europe, and especially France and Ireland, experienced a famine. La Salette, like many towns and cities in Europe, had become irreligious. People hardly went to Mass, hardly knew their prayers, worked on Sunday, and cursed with the Lord's name. And so it seems the main focus of La Salette was a message of conversion back to Christ in a world that was slipping away quicker and quicker. After a 5-year investigation, the bishop approved the apparition. The Feast of Our Lady of La Salette is September 19th. The seers have not been canonized. Our Lady of Lourdes. It's February 11th, 1858. Bernadette Soubirous is gathering firewood with her sister and a friend by the Grotto of Massabielle, where Bernadette alone sees a vision of a lady standing in a niche in the rock. Realizing that the others had not seen her, she tells them not to say anything to anyone. Her sister, however, tells their mother, and their mother punishes them, thinking they're lying, and forbids them from returning to the grotto. On February 14th, Bernadette feels impelled to go back to the grotto, so she and the other girls ask her mother for permission, which she grants. Bernadette passes by the parish church to get some holy water to throw at the vision in case it appears again. When they arrive at the grotto, they kneel down to pray the rosary, and not even a decade in, Bernadette sees the lady again. She begins to throw holy water in her direction and says that if she came from God, she was to stay, but if not, she must go. The lady starts to smile and bow, and the more Bernadette sprinkles her with holy water, the more she smiles and bows. They finish praying the rosary, and the vision disappears. On February 18th, the lady finally speaks. Bernadette holds out a pen and paper, asking her to write her name. She replies, "It is not necessary," and she adds, "I do not promise to make you happy in this world, but in the other. Would you be kind enough to come here for a fortnight?" On February 19th, Bernadette comes to the grotto with a lighted candle. 8 people were with her, including her mother and 2 aunts. The townspeople were divided as to whether they believed Bernadette. Soon, more and more people began to follow her on her daily journey. On February 20th, Bernadette was joined by 30 people, and the news was spreading to other towns. The lady's identity was still unknown, but many now assumed it was the Blessed Virgin Mary. On February 21st, Bernadette was joined by over 100 people. The apparition told her to pray for sinners. Afterward, Bernadette is interrogated by the police commissioner, who tries to confuse her and make her contradict her story, but fails. On February 23rd, about 150 people were present, including a tax inspector, a court official, and officers of the military. The lady tells Bernadette a secret, which Bernadette said was for her alone, and it was never revealed to anyone. On February 24th, about 250 people were present. The lady's message to Bernadette was simple. Penance, penance, penance. Pray to God for sinners. On February 25th, 300 people were present. The lady tells Bernadette to drink at the spring, but seeing no spring, she drinks at the river instead, but is then told that it's not there, but under a rock, where Bernadette finds a little muddy water. The next day, the spring begins to flow. On February 27th, 800 people were present. The apparition was silent. Bernadette drinks the water from the spring and carries out her usual acts of penance. On February 28th, over 1,000 people are present. Bernadette prays, kisses the ground, and moves on her knees as a sign of penance. On March 1st, over 1,500 people are present. Among them, for the first time, a priest. On March 2nd, the lady says to Bernadette, Go and tell the priest that people are to come here in procession and to build a chapel here. Bernadette tells this to the parish priest of Lourdes, to which he replies that they need to know the lady's name. On March 3rd, Bernadette asks the lady what her name is. At this, she only smiles. On March 4th, about 8,000 to 9,000 people are present, waiting for a miracle, since it had been a fortnight, as the lady had asked. But after this apparition, Bernadette stops going to the grotto, since she no longer feels the irresistible urge to go. On March 25th, Bernadette returns, and the lady finally reveals her name. Bernadette recounts, she extended her arms towards the ground, then joined them as though in prayer, and said, I am the Immaculate Conception. Bernadette then runs all the way to the parish priest, repeating over and over the words that she does not understand. I am the Immaculate Conception. I am the Immaculate Conception. I am the Immaculate Conception. The parish priest was astonished and asked if she was sure that's what the lady said. Bernadette was sure. The priest was astonished because Bernadette was ignorant of the fact that this theological expression was assigned to the Blessed Virgin. Just 4 years earlier, in 1854, Pope Pius IX declared this a truth of the Catholic faith. On April 7th, the town physician was present, watching skeptically. He observed how Bernadette's candle, whose flame was touching Bernadette's hand, was not burning her. After the apparition, the doctor approaches Bernadette to examine her hand, and seeing it without a mark, he takes a lit candle and holds it under Bernadette's hand, to which she exclaims, "You're burning me," as she takes her hand away. On June 8th, the grotto is barricaded by the mayor of Lourdes, and guards are stationed to prevent public access. Lastly, on July 16th, Bernadette receives her final call to the grotto. Her way is blocked by the barricade, so she kneels outside the fence by the riverbank. And when Mary appears, Bernadette feels as if she was in the grotto at the same distance as before, and she sees the Blessed Virgin Mary more beautiful than ever before. The grotto reopens to the public in October, but Bernadette never feels the urge to go back. In 1862, after a 4-year investigation, the bishop approves the apparition. Eventually, the sanctuary of Our Lady of Lourdes is built around the grotto, administering devotional activity and accommodating the millions of pilgrims that come from across the world, many of whom come to drink or bathe in the healing waters of the spring. In 1866, Bernadette leaves Lourdes to join a religious order, where she lives a simple life. When asked one day about the apparition, she replies, "The Virgin used me as a broom to remove the dust. When the work is done, the broom is put behind the door again." The feast of Our Lady of Lourdes is February 11th. The feast of Saint Bernadette is April 16th. Our Lady of Knock. It's August 21st, 1879. It's a stormy evening. Mary Byrne is accompanying Mary McLaughlin home, when suddenly she stops at the site of the small village church, because on one wall she sees a bright apparition of three figures, the Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph, and Saint John. A little behind them and to the side is a plain altar, with a cross and a lamb on top, and angels surrounding it. For nearly 2 hours, people came and went, fluctuating between 2 and as many as 25 people, gazing at the figures. The witnesses described Mary as being deep in prayer and very beautiful, wearing a white cloak fastened at the neck, with eyes raised to heaven and hands raised to the shoulders. Saint Joseph was also wearing white robes and stood at Mary's right. His head was bowed slightly towards Mary. Saint John was at Mary's left and was dressed in a long robe and wearing a bishop's mitre. He was partly turned away from the others as if preaching, holding a large open book in his left hand. To his left was the altar with a lamb and a cross surrounded by angels. The apparitions did not flicker or move in any way, and no words were spoken. In the ensuing months after the apparition, 15 witnesses are interrogated by a church commission established by the archbishop, among them men, women, and children of various ages. The commission's final verdict was that the testimony of all the witnesses, taken as a whole, was trustworthy and satisfactory. The silent apparition is the source of many speculations as to its meaning, since no message was left. The shrine now welcomes pilgrims from across Ireland and the world, and many miracles are attributed to it. The feast of Our Lady of Knock is August 17th. The seers have not been canonized. Our Lady of Fatima. It's 1916. The guardian angel of Portugal appears to three shepherd children in Fatima, Portugal, Lucia Santos and her cousins Francisco and Jacinta Marto. Three times over the course of spring and summer, the angel appears and teaches them some prayers and tells them to make sacrifices and spend time in adoration of the Lord. This would be a prelude of what was to come next spring. On May 13th, 1917, as they tended to their sheep, the three children had a vision of a lady, wearing a pure white mantle, edged with gold, and which fell to her feet. In her hands the beads of a rosary shone like stars, with its crucifix the most radiant gem of all. She asked them to pray the rosary for peace in the world and an end to the war, and to offer themselves and bear all sufferings for conversion of sinners. She would ask them to come back the next 13th of each month for the next 6 months. Lucia asked her cousins to keep the vision a secret. Jacinta, however, told her mother. Her mother told neighbors jokingly, and soon the whole village knew about the children's vision. On June 13th, people joined the children as the lady appeared to them again, and revealed that Jacinta and Francisco would soon die, but Lucia would live longer to spread the message and devotion to Mary's Immaculate Heart. And truly it came to pass that Francisco and Jacinta Marto would be dead within 3 years of the apparition, because of the 1918 flu pandemic. Mary also taught them in this apparition the O My Jesus prayer, and requested that it be said after each mystery of the rosary. On July 13th, a large number of people joined the children, praying the rosary. The lady entrusted to them three secrets. First, that they were shown a vision of hell. Second, they were told that World War I would end, but another bigger war would follow if people continued offending God and if Russia was not converted. Specifically, the lady asked that Russia be consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And third, they saw a vision of the Pope killed along with religious priests and lay people. This was later interpreted as the persecution suffered by the Church, especially at the hands of communism, culminating with John Paul II's assassination attempt. On the morning of August 13th, the mayor tricked the children by saying he would provide his car to get them safely through the crowd. However, instead of taking them to the place of the apparition, he took them into custody and tried to get them to recount their story, but they would not. 2 days later, they were released and driven back to Fatima, where the people angrily rebuked the driver and mayor. On August 19th, the lady appeared, asking them again to pray the rosary daily, and hinted about the miracle coming in October, and looking sadly at them, she said, "Pray, pray very much, make sacrifices for sinners. Many souls go to hell because no one is willing to help them with sacrifice." On September 13th, over 30,000 people were present. The lady again told the children to pray, and that she would perform a miracle in October. On October 13th, as many as 100,000 people were present, including reporters and photographers, as they caught wind of the promise of a miracle. The three children saw the same apparition again, who finally revealed herself as the Lady of the Rosary, and asked that a chapel be built in her honor. After she disappeared, they saw St. Joseph with the child Jesus, and Mary dressed in blue. St. Joseph and the child Jesus appeared to bless the world with the sign of the cross. Then they disappeared and were replaced with the vision of Mary dressed as Our Lady of Sorrows, and Jesus again appearing to bless the world. Once this vision disappeared, Mary appeared again, this time looking like Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Meanwhile, some in the gathered crowd saw the sun spinning and dancing, and they could stare at it directly without it hurting. This miracle of the sun was reported in local newspapers. Following the events, a chapel was built by the locals on the site of the apparitions. After an investigation, the bishop approved the apparition on October 13th, 1930, 13 years after the last apparition. The feast of Our Lady of Fatima is May 13th. The feast of Saints Francisco and Jacinta Marto is February 20th. Servant of God Lucia Santos died in 2005. The canonization process is ongoing. Domine Deus, agnus Dei.